Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we are here to discuss all things Apple. And for those of you that wrote to me in last week saying that I shouldn't have called Apple evil, I didn't. That was the twat from the FBI. I said, I think that's a bit harsh. Got to know that people...
What's wrong with calling Apple evil? People do it all the time.
Well, I don't mind if I do actually call them evil, which I didn't. It was the fact that I got told off by people for calling them evil when I didn't. It was the FBI that was calling them evil. I said, I think that's a bit harsh.
That's not cool.
I think the negative tone of last week's show in terms of the stories...
It's not going to get better this week.
I've tried.
I'm here, Mr. Friendly.
I've tried. is what probably did it. It's just like, you know, you make an Apple podcast. If you say anything bad about Apple, you just get a torrent of abuse regardless. So.
Yeah, you do. But so what?
Joining me to share that abuse? Not. Top left. Doc the bloody rock. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing good. You can say whatever you want to say about them, guys.
So I got a couple of emails this week suggesting that you and me fell out badly last weekend. And I was like,
man,
no.
Okay, listen. Okay, for everybody, if you're new to this show or you've been listening to it for 5 years, the point of having a pint with your lads and talking about tech, which is the general premise of the show, if you've been around any male friends forever, we fight. And then get 2 seconds later, be like, hey, would you like another ale? And they go, yes. And then you go right back to work. Like, that's what dudes do. Women, I know from experience, I grew up in a house with 7 women. They fight and they won't talk to each other for 92 years.
Man, yeah.
No, so, I've punched, yes, I made it. Now, call her right about that, all right? Damn it.
I've punched people on a rugby field and bought them a beer afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. I'm not mad at you.
At the end of the day, we're arguing about tech. I mean, who cares? Doesn't really matter, right?
It's not like it's bacon or anything.
Exactly.
Muller's put Ewan and Doc like makeup sex. How does Muller know? Have you been talking, Doc?
No, I didn't tell him.
Didn't tell him? Okay. Me and Doc love each other. We're like brothers, man. Only our mothers can tell us apart. I've got a green bottle as well, Doc. Yeah, except mine's empty, and it's got Tsingtao in. Yours has got Perrier in.
How do you know?
I know the shape of the bottle, man. I know the shape. You can't. Mate, Perrier is distinct.
It's got a... Yes. I you it's guys iconic, stuff. Some might say.
Iconic, that's the word. Iconic. Well done. Before we started as well, Doc recalled from the top of his head what Albion meant, and I've got to say, 10 out of 10, dude. Much respect for that. Much respect for that.
Why?
Because it's a good word to use. I know what Albion means is awesome.
I use it more.
And the man who used iconic is an icon in the Mac podcasting world himself. And a man equally aware of the abuse that comes with doing a Mac podcast.
Yeah, I've been being abused for 13 years.
Good man. We're only 10, so you are a god. Adam Christensen, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good.
Now then, all right. We set you a challenge that during the show you're going to work out to get rid of that frigging logo off the top right-hand corner of bloody Skype.
I need more time. Oh. I couldn't do it. It wasn't in any of the obvious places, but there's got to be a way to do it. At the very least, I bet you can replace the little resource with some other image.
At the very least, you could steal the source code and rewrite the entire frigging application.
That's the real fix, is we just got to get rid of Skype. It's done. Stick a fork in it. I mean, that's actually a big thing in the podcast community. I just saw somebody wrote up a piece about how everybody's jumping ship to Discord, and that's what's happening, at least in my podcasting circle. Is also just for the audio quality. Skype messes with the audio too much too.
So right, here we go then, fellas. Are we going to do a test podcast next week on the Mac Show with Discord?
Yes.
Okay. Everyone put that in the diaries. Next week, it's Discord or nothing. And not via the web app. It's got to be the downloaded app. So
we're gonna I don't know if they have a web app.
They do. Yeah. That's the whole point. So people can dial in from Windows. But if we had Windows people in on a Mac show, then Christ. The Windows people on a Mac. No, dialing in on frigging Windows is... At least you own a Mac, Muller. beneath him, it's Muller. Just about to take a swig.
Hello.
You all right, bud?
Yeah, yeah.
Timing.
What's been happening in Muller World?
Well, I've been doing some voluntary work in my
ghost stories, mate.
Oh yeah, I was scaring a living daylight set of people last Saturday. So they were being given a story about a certain person who hung himself in the house, and I just dropped her from about 50 feet, a noose, and listened to all the little girlies go, ee! And then I hid in a...
And the boys.
And I
sounded the boys, same.
Yeah. Then I hid in a cupboard and played...
Whoa.
And I played a musical box to scare them.
Muller scaring children and getting away with it.
Actually, the...
Or getting paid for it. No, not getting paid for it.
There weren't many children there. It was a couple of teenagers, but no children. It's not really suitable for kids.
Good to have you back, mate. And last, but by no means least, it's James Rickards, Monsieur Animation... From
Just, Happy New Year. Sorry I wasn't here last week.
Je suis un animateur. Je avais une résidence à la campagne dans le south of France.
That's not bad at all. Yeah, busy week, fighting with WordPress. It's changed a lot. So I've been on,
In the 10 years that you haven't used it.
Well, yeah. Well,
WordPress changed a lot in the last 10 years.
What is Visual Composer? What is Slider Revolution 5? All these questions and more will be answered. It's been great. I started January 1st sort of saying to myself, I'm going to learn lots of new cool new stuff. And and within about a week of telling somebody I was doing it, oh, can you build your website? So I've had two to build, and it's been brilliant. So, yeah.
And you've had a week's prep?
Yes.
Why aren't you talking to Adam in the Slack room if you've got questions? Because he is Monsieur Web.
Is he?
Oh, mate, he's a web developer. He's a proper web developer.
I was closing the window. What was the question?
WordPress? Discuss.
I'm a little bit of a WordPress expert.
If he says he's a WordPress expert, that means he's a WordPress ninja. And you shouldn't be pissing around trying to work it out for yourself.
it's that same old thing. You go to Theme Forest. I think Theme Forest.
Oh God! Oh God! You've already gone off the rails.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think they're good for ideas and layout. That's what Theme's good for. Gives you a good idea, and then you just take that and you throw it in the bin, and then you start all over again. But it's $35 for a theme isn't bad these days.
Batwin just put in the chat room. Be right back. Having updates. I don't know if she means her or her system. Decided to do updates without her.
Simming the Mac.
Yeah.
Lots of Mac updates recently.
She's plugged herself.
For some reason.
I wonder why that would be. Let's start with something positive then. And this is a great story. Apple is going to begin paying $16 billion to the Irish economy because of the battle with the EU. That is going to be one hell of a crack down the dole that night, mate. It is unreal. If you are anywhere near Ireland, I suggest you get yourself down to where the $13 billion euros is being paid in and get smashed with the rest of them.
I'd love to know. When I first heard the story, I thought, blimmin' heck, what are they going to do with that?
Party in the sky bar.
Can we find out what they're going to do with it?
They're going to drink it. They're Irish. What else are they going to do?
Racist.
And before you all write and complain, you know I'm right.
Yeah.
Constant party for the next 5 years.
Oh, I don't know. 16 billion might not last 5 years.
3 years?
It might be three nights.
I want to know where they're installing Whiskey Falls because I want to go there.
Tonight
it was just shoot out of their drinking fountains in the public parks.
Well, you see, now the thing is, they're
going to replace the entire water system with whiskey. That's how they're going to spend it.
Well, because my father was born in Northern Ireland, I am technically eligible because the Southern Ireland allows people from Northern Ireland to have an Irish passport. So I am technically eligible for an Irish passport, and there's a lot of me thinking I should be applying for it right now.
Yeah, see you later.
Je suis un Irish. Ouai le crack.
I tell you what, you could buy quite a few villages in France for that money.
Oh, mate, yeah.
You really could. Yeah, well, I was looking at a house only the other day, 35,000, and it was like three barns, small house in the garden, big, massive, three-story Charente-style house. Unbelievable. 35,000 euros.
Well, you've got to bear in mind that England spent most of the 13th century doing that, buying in France. So,
what is it, in France?
Hey, come
on. Oh, mate.
Great fun.
The only thing that spoils France is the cheese-eating surrender monkeys. that was the story. That's the positive story for the week, done and dusted, so we went back to that in a minute.
Well,
I've got another positive story. You ready?
Yeah.
Two positive stories in a row. Don't write in with emails telling me that I'm a bastard. Apple, Fortune's list of the world's most admired companies, the 11th consecutive year.
Yes.
Cool. That's good.
Okay, moving on.
That basically explains all the hate letters you get after you have to be, you know, tough on them.
So there you go. That's really cool to know, isn't it? I don't know what else I'm going to say about that story. It's just like, well, okay, Apple's a cool company, and Fortune recognized it.
It's that same old thing, doesn't it? You know, where Apple goes, everybody else follows. I mean, that's great that they're still being recognised as that company, that's that go-to company that when they design something, everybody goes, yeah, that's good. I mean, the AirPods is probably one of the biggest success stories ever, really. I was watching a great thing about in CES the other day, how most people walking around with their AirPods in.
You've got to say, at the moment, AirPods is the only Apple product you can't find a bad word to say about.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah,
it just works.
It does just work. That's the thing. It does just work. It's true. Are you ready, fellas? I'm on a roll here.
Uh-oh. All right. We got two. Let's go for three.
The hat trick. Apple plans $350 billion or dollar boost to the US economy over 5 years, 20,000 new jobs, and another campus. What the hell do they want another campus for? But fair enough. I'll take it.
Yeah, we just don't know where they're building it, other than we know it's not Texas or California.
Well, they're doing some shit in Reno, aren't they? Because Tim was digging foundations with the senator.
Expanding their data center.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I reckon Apple has got a bit of a tax holiday.
Well, that's exactly what's happening. They already announced that too. They're bringing their cash back under the new rulings. Tim even complimented is too strong a word. He was asked about, his thoughts about benefiting from some of the business stuff. And he said positive things about our current administration, which was interesting.
No.
And then, yeah, in an interview.
He's in bed with Beelzebub. He's in bed with Beelzebub.
No, he was basically asked if Apple was going to benefit from the tax law changes, and he said, "Yeah, absolutely. Our business, you know, from a business perspective, it's all good, you know. And but in other areas, maybe not so much." Yeah. But I don't want to go to that side of thing. The point is they're bringing the cash back, and they're going to pay like a I forget the amount. It was like $38 billion tax bill.
Yeah, got to be about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why they have the money to do these. That's why they're announcing these other initiatives. That's where the money's coming from. So they're going to repatriate their cash hoard, and it shot the stock price up too. So that's all positive, right?
And give Ireland a party it will never remember.
Well, it's funny because everybody kind of knew that they would be one of the people affected, and a lot of the reporting was around like somehow like they were buddy buddy, and I'm like, nah, have you ever paid attention to Tim Cook? He's the last thing from buddy buddy. But he also said, and Steve also said before Steve passed, if the loopholes didn't exist, they'd be happy to pay the taxes. And people always give them flack because they're not doing it. But then when Tim was, you know, a little bit more, I don't know, transparent is the right word, but a little bit more vocal to the media, he stated, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, if the loopholes didn't exist, we would send the money here. But because the loopholes exist, we have a fiduciary responsibility to our stock people, our investors and whatnot. So we have to do what we're doing. It's not that we do it because we want to. And everybody's like, oh, that's BS. You know, they're just rich. They're doing whatever. So it's cool to see them come exactly out as soon as it says, yes, we're going to do good on it, but here's how we're going to make it do good for everyone else so that it's fair. And I thought that was great of them.
Excellent.
They're still going to make a lot of money off of it, though.
Cool sale.
Yeah.
Cool sale.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, it's nice that they're coming out publicly and saying, look, this money comes back. Here's how we're going to be reinvesting it in a bunch of ways. And they're all positive from what I see.
So we're done with the positive shit then.
Yeah.
All right.
Start beating people up.
Here we go. This is not a negative story, though. This is kind of a neutral story. Apple CEO Tim Cook says power management features in older iPhones will be able to be turned off in future updates. Now, Adam, you commented on this, didn't you, in Will's Slack room, and you said this is really un-Apple.
Yeah, I was just surprised that they did it. It was really hard to actually find the actual clip. It's funny, ABC put up a clip of that interview, and they clipped out the part where... at least in one version of it, where he actually made the statement saying that you'd be able to actually toggle it off in future updates. But that is specifically what he said. He said there's going to be a feature where, hey, if you don't like what they're doing with the battery management, you will be able to turn it off. And I think I had said even last show here that that's what Apple should do, but there was no way they were going to do it. And lo and behold, they did it. So, I think that's great. I mean, that shows a sign that Apple's willing to listen and maybe they're changing things a little bit. I just hope my fear is they don't go too far down that path. Like, it's not going to be a good thing every time someone, you know, the media or people kind of piss and moan. That's not always the time when you want to make changes to your interface. And I think we've also suffered from some of that a little bit over the past few years. I think a lot of the things that we see in the operating system that are annoyances, some of that comes out of them doing sort of too much to kind of try and think that they're pleasing customers and not taking the tact that we had under the Steve Jobs days, where it's like, nope, we know what the right thing to do is, and this is what we're going to do. And I know that frustrates some people, but in a lot of ways, that's what made Apple really great, was like they made those choices for you, and you didn't get to make those choices, and you didn't have people going in and mucking up and messing up things and then complaining that Apple has screwed up their thing. So it's a slippery slope, I think, if you go too far down, but it's nice to see that they're willing to listen in some cases. And I think for this particular issue, I think giving customers the choice is the right thing. You know, the default is going to be, we're going to slow it, these older devices with poor battery performance down. But if you really know what you're doing, we're going to give you a toggle. I hope it's somewhat buried so that, you know, the average user can't get themselves in trouble. But it'd be nice for people who are in the know and know what they're doing to be able to toggle it.
But there's been a lot of complaints over the fact that Apple has taken away the advanced pseudo-esque function. So that's got to be a positive, surely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would be even okay if a lot of these things were like they are on the Mac, where you have to know some archaic terminal hack to re-enable it, you know?
Yeah.
That's fine.
I think it's that whole thing about power to the people, quite literally, power to the people. Right. Giving people a choice to make up their own mind what they want to do, whether sacrifice battery over performance. I think most people will leave it alone, to be fair.
I
think it'll be a slider, it'll be a switch, but I think most people are just going to leave it as it is. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they've been doing right for all these years, and I've had no complaints. I mean, I've got an iPad Air 2, the first sort of iPad Air, and the second one for that, and that's a bit laggy with the iOS 11 on, but, you know, I'll put up with it because, you know, it's given me a day's worth of battery.
There is a bit... Sorry, go ahead.
No, say what you want to say, but can you come back to me? Because there's a question I want to ask you guys, something that came from a listener that asked me about, and I thought it was a pertinent question somewhat related to this.
So do your question, and then I'll forget what I was going to say.
Okay. So somewhat related to this, somebody had sent me an email and said, you know, something that's frustrated me is, you know, I don't upgrade as frequently as most. I think this person, their Mac's like 10 years old. And which is great. It's great that they can last that long and you can use them. And I have some machines that old, but the thing was, specifically with iOS, is like, if Apple would just give us the option to you know, use an older version of the OS. If we upgrade and then we decide, you know, a year down the road that we don't like some of the new features or we don't like how it's performing, especially on our older devices, the question was, why can't we just go back and why can't I put, you know, iOS 9 back on my old, you know, iPhone 5 if I thought it ran better under 5. And I thought that was somewhat of a valid point. You know, it's you can not, do that with your Mac if you have a copy of the old operating system, but you can't do that on iOS. And that does kind of that does kind of stink. And again, it comes back to, I get that you want security updates, you want some of these new features, but there's also a lot of versions of the OS that, you know, they take advantage of the new hardware, right? And if you have older hardware, you might suffer a little bit. You might not get all the features. So why can't you just jump back? And I thought that was a pertinent point. You know, again, the answer is because it's Apple and Apple does the things the way they do it. And we all know that. But that might also solve some of the complaints too, especially with older devices. So, well, see, I was curious to hear your thoughts on that.
And sorry, to me, it's very, very important. And people don't want to hear this. But part of the reason why, for the most part, I will say we're probably like maybe 88 to 90% protected on the iOS and macOS side versus, say, the Windows and Android side, is because they do these force updates. And it's all about security first. The rest of the stuff is beneficial, but security is one of the main things. And so because our devices are so tight, the reason why, and we all know this from having to work with them, the reason why Windows was such a pain in the butt a couple years ago was you'd have to deal with XP 7 or XP Vista 7, some really, really jacked up versions of NT, and then Windows 8 all at the same time. So you're just creating vulnerability holes. So by them shutting the door, they're making it easier to mitigate that stuff. And I will stand to reason in my own head that your handheld device oftentimes has more, I want to say, sensitive information, because people do use their devices for their banking and all these other things. So if you want it to be secure, you got to stay with this, you know, secure devices. Mm-hmm. I also will say that nothing kind of drives me more batty than when you're a known outlier, but you want it to be the way everybody else has it. Then you can't be an outlier. Like, it's nothing wrong with being an outlier. That's a choice. But when you make a choice to be an outlier, vegans, you can't be mad that the steak restaurant doesn't have any vegan-oriented food. It's a steak restaurant. You're the outlier, not everyone else. Like, that drives me crazy here. You know, and, you know, anecdotally, when I have to, you know, be uncle and take care of my niece, my favorite thing as a kid was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. My dumbass sent her to school with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and she got sent right home, and I got yelled at.
Oh, yeah,
like,
you did.
What's wrong with that? Like, I didn't even get it. And they're like, oh, well, we don't have peanut butter sandwiches because some kids may have peanut allergies. There's 8,000 kids in this school. How many got peanut allergies? Oh, like 10. F those 10. You know, like,
well, yeah, but no, they can die. Like, you can't do that.
You say that.
This is where I come
when a bit
from.
Of peanut dust gets in the anaphylactic shock area of the air conditioning system, mate, you'll be a bit different. I promise you.
No, I get that, but you know, when we were growing up, there was no such thing. Any kid that had a kind of allergy, they suffered on their own. Like, the whole rest of the school didn't suffer because of them.
Knowledge is great, isn't it?
I don't even know.
It's gonna be, and it's like, I'm sorry, I can't get into Doc's workshop, and he's just like, them, they're disabled.
Wait.
No rap for you, man. Wait.
Okay. See, it's funny that you say that, but
I just did that yesterday. Yes.
No. I'm gonna fix your wagon real quick.
You gonna show me a wagon wheel? What? It's a wagon wheel.
No, I'm a disabled vet. So I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't do that. I'm actually a disabled vet. So
you're not disabled. You've got a blue badge under false pretenses.
No, I have.
You walked around Japan and lost weight. I tell you what, mate, if you were in Atos here in the UK, you'd be back at work in no time.
You got trench foot in the first world.
I walked around Japan with a cane and sometimes using a wheelchair. Like, it happens every, you know, once or twice a month I flare up and then I can't freaking move.
I walk around Japan with a cane or two people holding me up. Yeah, but that was the alcohol, mate.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, so here we go.
I want to comment on a couple of things that Doc was mentioning.
So I wrote it down.
That's all.
Good.
I did my point because I wrote it down so I didn't forget it.
Good. Go.
I think there's a duality that's emerged with Apple because you say that Steve Jobs was restrictive and you had to be, you know, your way or the highway type of stuff. But actually, one of the things, and this was one of the first things that Kate said to me at the Solihull store when I did my first one-to-one session with her, was that Apple gives you choices. And Spider said the same thing. Apple gives you choices. There are multiple ways to get to the end goal. And they were right. And the problem that's happened in recent years is the multiple ways to get to the end goal have disappeared. And some of the end goal has disappeared as well as. So it's not Steve Jobs-esque. Because Steve Jobs-esque was, right, this is the goal that you want. I promise you this is the goal that you want. Listen to me. I'm telling you the goal that you want. Don't listen to any other goal because this is the goal that you want. But there are multiple ways of getting to that goal. And that's changed. That really has changed within the Apple ethos. There's no goal anymore.
Fair point. Yeah.
Agreed.
I see that.
Anyway, go on. You can say what you want like that. Go on. Back where you were.
So... on the outliers thing and just on the security thing. So starting with the security thing, you know, Apple could, if they want, because they do this on with macOS. Again, iOS isn't any different. If they really wanted to, they could, you know, take the same policy where they support the OS. I think on the Mac, it's they do 2 years back with security patches for a certain amount of time. They don't do that with iOS. You know, iOS comes out a few months later, they pull the keys, and you can't, if you've upgraded, you can't downgrade. You can't go back to an older version of the OS if your device will run the new version. So I'm not sure that I buy the security thing completely on iOS. And then, you know, as far as being an outlier, you know, my point was, I'm talking about people who they are making that choice. They're saying, I don't need the new features. I don't want the new features. I'm perfectly happy to stick with this older version of the operating system. And they just want the choice to do that. And that was my point, is like, they don't have the choice right now to be an outlier. They're sort of forced to not be an outlier.
Not upgrading their stuff.
What?
If you're not upgrading when everyone else is, then you're making a choice.
No. But this is the thing. I maybe I didn't explain it right. These are the people who they have an older device. They go ahead and upgrade for whatever reason, and then come to find out, oh, my device is running a lot slower. I'm not really happy with the upgrade. I just want to roll back. And that was the point. It's like, why don't they have the choice to roll back if they perfectly want to? Because maybe you want to try the new OS. Maybe you believe that it's going to work better and faster. Right now, and so you're locked. And that was the point, is like, you are locked in once you've screwed up. And we all screw up, right? You all think, okay, it's going to, you know, maybe you didn't do your research. Maybe you got excited. And then come to find out, wow, my iPhone 6 is really running like crap under iOS 11. I want to go back to iOS 10. Nope. Can't do it.
But the thing is, as developers, you want everybody to be the same platform. That way it makes use of the new technology. And obviously, you know, the reason why people buy new tech is because they wanted to do new things. And I think if you have that fragmented thing where people can go back and, oh, I like running iOS 6, I mean, God knows where we'd be if we're still running iOS 6. You know, it kind of, I think it hampers kind of development, really, by going back.
Yeah, but when a phone costed...
You can go
hang on,
back,
hang on. Muller, it's the first
time. Muller's bringing up a point. This person brought up the same point, so it's a good one.
Silence, pro silence from Muller.
Yeah, but when a phone costs only £1,000 or $1,500, you don't want it to be obsolete after 2 years. You want it to last maybe 3-4 years, because you hand it on if you don't keep it yourself.
Yeah.
And it's got to last at least, I should think, that phone should last 6 years if they cost that much.
But in defense of Apple, older hardware has improved or run smoother under the new OSs. There's people saying that their 2011 MacBook Pros have never run better than they did under Sierra.
Yeah, amazing.
I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying I think it's a fair point for someone with an older device to say, I would like the option to run an older version of the operating system. I just think that's not an unreasonable request.
I think
that was right. My point.
Yeah, I think you're right. Absolutely think you're right. I can, hang on. This didn't work out for me. I've got battery issues. Let me go back.
Can't you sideload it or anything?
Will Apple let them do it? Yeah, no.
That's what I'm asking. And I'm pretty positive that you can DFU restore back to any OS you want.
No. So it can be not. No, because they stopped signing it. So you have to go get like a hacked, unsigned version, unofficial thing from Apple, and then you're opening, and then we're back to the security thing.
So you used to download the packet, and then you could right click on it, couldn't you?
Show contents.
Yeah, to show contents, and then install from that. But that's gone now.
Well, again, they stop signing. What happens is Apple pulls the signing keys from them, so they won't install. So then you have to go find someone from one that someone grabbed from a third party site, or you're just opening yourself up to. You can't get the official distro, from what I understand. Now, this isn't an area that I play around in because I don't mess with it. But from what people tell me, it's it can be done, but it's not. There's nothing good about the experience for the average person. We're talking about someone who's just upgraded and they're like, I just want to roll back. I don't like 11. I want to go back to 10. You know, just let me click a button and go back to 10.
I did a rollback from 4 to 3 because I was getting massive. Oh, no, 3 to 2, 11. Right. Because I was getting massive issues with battery. I did the whole rollback and I virtually missed out most of 3 before I went to it. At the very end before it went to 4. But I did it by downloading the package, opening the contents, and when you were in iTunes and you used to be able to pick where you wanted to select the install from for the OS.
You can still do that, I think.
Well, I don't know that you can. You can't get the package in the first place to download.
That's the problem.
Yes.
Yeah. If you can get the package, though,
If you can get the package, you haven't got it from Apple. That's the point.
No, yeah, you can get the package from Apple. You have to have a developer account. So if you want to be weird, pay the $99, you can get it.
Good point. I hadn't thought about the developer
route. Or get it with a
Mac. Maybe.
Log into your account real quick. You can get all of the old packages from there.
You're right.
And so, again, when you're choosing, it's like, having a stock car or a hot rod, as we would call it. You go out of your way to have to jerry-rig things because you can't just roll in the Napa and buy the new stuff for it. You have to find ways of making it. So, again, if you want to be the guy that's playing with the older stuff, it's okay. You can. You just got to be willing to work for it. You can't have both. You can't have the ease of use and want to be the weirdo. Like, it's just not, it doesn't work that way.
No.
How far do we want to go with this? Because I can take it one step further.
Well, go,
I think
go
the
ahead.
Answer is 5 years for hardware for computers. And Mueller says it should be 4 for, say, a handheld device. Like, you're talking people with things older than that.
How do we feel about the, air quotes, forced upgrades by nagging you to death till you're just like, I'm gonna install it.
33 minutes. That's Adam's first in about 2 years.
Yeah, I don't do them too. I partially bring this up because this happened to me for the fourth time because I have not upgraded my Mac to High Sierra yet. I've just got too many projects going on. I got too much happening. I can't deal with it. I'm going to do it eventually, but it's just like I don't have time. And it's mainly because I do a lot of low-level web stuff that has to be completely rebuilt, and it's a big hassle. It takes a long time for me. So the pop-up comes up again, and I think I put this image on Twitter. And so the options are more info or install. I'm not even annoyed by the pop-up dialogue. I'm annoyed by the fact that I can't just dismiss the damn thing. Like I have to go to the App Store or I have to install it. So I have to go to the App Store and see the page all about High Sierra, which I already know all about. So that, and again, people have emailed me and said, it's just like you click, especially on iOS. I've had a number of people go, the dialogue came up for the umpteenth, whatever time. And I was hazy or whatever. And I tapped the wrong thing, or I wasn't knowing what I was doing. Or they also have that one where you think you're tapping something, it says install later, and then you put in your admin password, and then it installs overnight the next time it's plugged in. I've known a number of, you know, normals that have just got bitten by that. So that's a whole nother thing that I hear a lot about, is it's like Apple likes to tout their numbers about how many people upgrade, but in a lot of ways it's because they nag you to death. It's like, again, you're forced to
easy fix though. And nobody wants to be the power user, but it doesn't take to heart. In your computer, in the access, in the et cetera folder, there's a thing called a host file. You go in the host file and you put in the address to the Apple update server, and it won't contact it anymore. It literally take 3 seconds to fix that.
Yeah, but then you break all of your updates. I don't want to break all my updates. I just want Apple to stop hassling me. That's it.
The only update that's coming from Apple is the iOS update.
No, I got to agree with
security patches, updates for my airport router.
Aren't the security patches tied to the update? Or you mean for the specific OS? Then you got to manually update security patches. So again, you're trying to...
How hard is it just to have a button to say... They don't let developers of third-party apps annoy you to death, but Apple gets the privilege, right?
They paid for it.
Yeah. So we don't have to go on and on about this. It's just these are the things that I hear from a lot of people. And I step back and I don't know what to tell them, because it's like, you know, you're kind of right. This kind of stinks. And all I can tell you is, well, it's Apple. You know, that's not a great answer to have to give somebody.
The way you're going, Adam, mate, you'll be using Windows inside 6 months.
No. These aren't complaints. These are just things that I'm bringing up as, you know, things that come up in our community that I think we need to have open conversations about, because it is kind of ridiculous if you step away from it and go, wow, that's, you know, and it just came up for me this week. So,
well, having said that, though, I mean, I've complained in the past, and I did call it the permanent fuck off button.
right.
But having said that, I haven't installed High Sierra on my Mac Pro because I just don't want to screw everything up just in case. And I did get the kind of, oh, are you sure? Oh, are you sure? Oh, are you sure for a while? But eventually they stopped. And I think it's because Tim listens to this show.
I just got a new one this week. My point is, like, every other dialogue, I can even just, you know, you swipe left on it and it just goes away. This one was permanent. It's like a special, it's this whole special version that Apple gets to use that's just like, I just want to swipe. I'm fine. Annoy me all you want. I know I don't want to install it, but just let me dismiss the dialogue for God's sake.
Yeah. In the vein of the positive show that we are promoting today, for this week only, because we'll get back to the negative shit next week, Apple's Everyone Can Code initiative is adopted by 70 educational institutions around Europe. Have you seen this, boys? See, now you're all sitting thinking, now you were going to do a thing with Anders, weren't you, where he was going to teach you Python, and we're still doing that. That's going to happen. It's just that Christmas came and the sentry boxes came, and Anders is helping with the sentry boxes. We haven't done it yet, but we will do it in the new year. Everyone Can Code. It will be proved to be wrong when I start having a go. So there's the question. Can everyone code with the current system that Apple's got? I'm not suggesting can everyone code, because
yes,
that's a different question. But we're talking about Swift Playgrounds, and we're talking about the current developer stuff that's going on with the ability to help with Swift Playgrounds and the other stuff through... I've got a mate on block on what the developer code thing's called.
Xcode,
thank you. So really, you know, you say everyone can code. Can everyone code?
Well, I code.
Yeah,
I did a speaking playgrounds. I followed the tutorial and made the little man move up the steps and round the corner and everything. And then I did one myself. Not very good, but
well, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But you did it in code.
Yeah. It took me about an hour. I just followed the instructions in on the app.
Yeah.
It took me about an hour or so to work through that. So I kept making mistakes, but I did eventually do it.
Good man. Well done.
I mean, I think, again, YouTube this is what YouTube's great for, is you jump on there and there's lots of people willing to help, and there's lots of free courses as well to follow on there. I had an idea for an app, which was basically a drum. something called a hang drum, if you know what hang drum is. They're quite expensive. Yeah, they're kind of one-off things, and they're beautiful. And I wanted to make a make an app, because it wasn't actually one on the App Store at the time. So I actually jumped onto YouTube and downloaded Xcode. And I basically copied and pasted text, and that was already existing in kind of repositories all over the place. And I made it. I could even tap on the drum, turn it over, and actually hit the back of the drum as well. I even put a percussion button on there. The only thing I really felt that was a bit of a hurdle was trying to record what you were producing and then push it out. But that was it. I mean, I wanted to do it, and I found out how to do it to a degree. And then I was pleased. I think that information has always been out there. It's how much you really want and where you can see yourself making a difference by putting a good app or a good program out there.
Yeah. It's similar to the word processors versus the people that use Word. Like, there are legitimate, real deal word processors, like people that can take stuff and use all of the tricks of, you know, Word to create really feature rich and intense documents. And there's people that just open up the page and type. And it's kind of, they both exist, but I think people will tell you like, oh, I know how to use Word. And it's like, cool, can you help me do a mail merge? Oh, I don't know how to do that. And it's not the same thing. So you got to, if you're going to do it, take the time to go in and do it and learn how to do it. And you can do some incredible things. My original phone app that I made was made with PhoneGap. It was coding without kind of coding. You're just using JSON script and jQuery, and it was super simple. But I come from, you know, a bunch of friends that are developers who will tell you that what we do for web and what we do for jQuery and JSON isn't coding, it's scripting, and they're two different things. And I just don't start that fight.
technically that's correct, but I don't. Correct. That's one of those arguments that, you know, real coders will try and, you know, like force on people, and I don't buy it. You know, anything where you're using a language to manipulate and make stuff happen inside a computer, in my opinion, is coding. And we shouldn't discourage, you know, because that's where a lot of people start, right? Scripting is where a lot of people start. AppleScript, or you can use Automator, or any of these tools are great. No. You know, I will often sort of, you know, I'm not a big fan of the block type, the building block type coding things, but they're absolutely a great place for people to start, you know, where you pull in a little block and then you pull in another, you know, you have a variable block and a loop block. And, you know, those are great places for people to start and get the basic concepts. And then you get interested in, and you move forward from there. And then, you know, oh, I really, that block's great, but I really want to know how it works. And you sort of dig deeper. So, yeah, you know, I think any tools that you can give people to create anything are great. And so it's great to see these initiatives go forward. I do think you have to be a little bit leery of the people who want to take it too far and take these initiatives. And the whole everyone can code movement for some people becomes everyone should code. And I don't know that I buy that part, that side of this. So everyone can, and the people who want to and who are interested by it, great. You know, I love it for that. But there are some people that are taking it to, well, everybody needs to learn how to code at some level because it's applicable to everything. I don't know if I take it that far or if I buy that.
Oh, perfect timing. No, I'd say that, you know, it's that thing about, you know, wanting to have a purpose to code in the first place. In other words, seeing your gap in saying, right, I've seen this gap. Can I produce this thing? And the answer is pretty much yes, it's going to be, because there's that many resources you can go to code. And that's what I love about the internet, is people are willing to help, which is always a good thing. But, you know, if Apple was able to put, again, a repository where there's APIs and all these things that can help people produce things that we don't know need to exist at the moment. I mean, that's the thing, is we're all unique, we're all individual. We've all got our own personal needs and wants. And it's up to us to, you know, find that thing that doesn't exist and make it. And if the tools are on hand, then all good. And if Apple wants to produce more and more, then let them do so.
Yep.
Allegedly.
Yes.
HomePod should launch soon. Apparently, Inventec, the supplier to Apple of the HomePod units, has begun shipping about 1 million units to Apple, which is not going to be anywhere near enough.
Are they too late, though? This is the thing.
I'm not going to buy one.
Well, that's the thing. I think the estimates were Apple would sell 4 million in the first year. They're not expected to sell a ton of them.
Well, I mean, the other thing is that CES was lousy with Google and Alexa enabled in speakers, and I think that's probably detracted from the market straight away for them. And my pick today as well, my cool thing today, has made me even less likely to think about it. So I just think they've left it a bit late still.
They missed that massive Christmas market, and it was a real shame. I mean, I really, really wanted to buy one of these things. I kind of had the money put to one side, and I was genuinely really, really excited. As I mentioned on the previous podcast, I know somebody who tested it. I know somebody who told me the shortcomings of it. And once they delayed it, you know, I just went on that for the Sonos 5, and I put like an Echo Dot on the back of it. And I love it. I absolutely love it. It sits in my front room, and it makes me want to buy a whole ton more Echo Dots. I think they're amazing. The speaker actually is really good on Echo Dot. Yeah, if you just want something in the background, you know, while you're washing up, whatever, it's great. But the Sonos Play 5, it was £409 just before Black Friday, I think, on Amazon. So I got, you know, saved myself about 100 quid. But what a piece of machinery. Just brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. Love Sonos. Got two here. Love them a bit.
Well, you know, you kind of convinced me. I think, I know it sounds bizarre, but you put your Play 1s on for me to have a listen to it over the headphones. Yeah. And I was kind of blown away, really. I sat here going, Jesus, they're really good. And within, I think, 2 weeks, I bought the Play 5. That was it.
Yeah, I think that, so the Echo version 1, the large one, the speaker in that, I think, is probably every inch as good as a single Play 1 on its own. Two, I don't think the speaker's quite as good. It's very good, but it's not quite as good as the ones were. So the tall units had a much better speaker in these ones, but well done. Larger sized iPhones coming this year will offset weakening demand for iPhone X in China. I thought that defied the entire purpose, though. That defies the entire purpose of what the 10 was about. Because the 10 was about getting a bigger screen and a smaller form factor, which is why Adam loves it.
Yeah, but where'd you go after the 10? This is the thing, isn't it? We're all holding. I mean, I love my 10. I've had it, you know, a month or so now. I absolutely adore it. It's the best phone I've ever held in my hand. It's fantastic. It's more phone than probably I'm ever going to need or want. But that's until Apple show me what I don't need and will want.
So here's the thing, though, and I've had this poll with people that I've seen using the 10 at places I've gone, or a 7 or 8, and I've said to them, "What do you want the bigger form factor?" And every single one of them have said they don't care about the extra form factor, they care about the extra battery. And more often than not, people I talk to, the complaint that's coming from them is got nothing to do with the screen. It doesn't care. They don't care about the form factor. They found the one that they like, and that's that. They want more power. They want a thicker phone. They don't care if it goes thicker. They want the bigger phone. In the Asian
environment, the Asian community in China and Japan and things like that, the phablet is king. It's because of the way that the population ebb and flows with the train-oriented system. A lot of people are traveling 200 and 300 miles to work every day. They're doing it via the train. So, you know, over there, for instance, in Japan, when I used to, you know, ride the train to school from eons ago, there's USB charging ports, you know. So, like, they got access to getting it powered. Also, everyone, and I mean every single person, has a battery pack in their pocket or their purse somewhere. Like, so whenever you see a group of friends at the table at the pub and they're drinking up, and then somebody's, like, patting their pockets looking for their you know, battery, and maybe they put it in the coat check. Somebody else went out. There's a cable, the whole nine yards. Everybody also has the cables that have the caps so that you can cover both of your friends, whether it's mini USB or Lightning. And for the way that they use the computer and the phone, in a lot of cases, the computer is the phone. I understand why they want big phones. You should see the Huawei and Xiaomi phones over there. They're like small Kindle tablets. they're pretty impressive.
Why is that though?
For that market, it makes sense.
I don't get why we never think that.
Why we never think what?
That they want that massive factor.
Well, because they're not at home or at the office the way that we are when it comes to, you know, being able to get back to your notebook or your computer. And again, for some people, especially in China, the way the economy works, that phablet is their entire computer. It's their TV. It's their streaming device. It's their Skype device. It's everything. So it becomes it's their computer. And nowadays, of course, we find out from Federico, it can be done. You know, it's very possible. We just don't have to do that. So we don't understand why anybody would want to do that.
I'm curious about this battery thing, because the one I'm not as enamored with the 10, I don't think, as James is. I'm even considering that I might go back if it weren't for the dual cameras in this form factor. You know, that was the main thing. I think we talked about this last time. That was the main reason I wanted the 10, was I wanted the dual lens camera system for the phone, because the camera is awesome. It's the best camera I think I've had in an iPhone for me. Because I always had the single lens with the
but it's software
the enhanced. 7, you know, because I hate the Plus. I don't like that large size. But when it comes to battery, the 10 for me is, I mean, the battery lasts forever. I have noticed I've had times when I've gone 2 days and never plugged it in, and I'm still at, you know, above 20% battery. I get the battery warning after about 2.5 days if I forget to plug it in. And I think a lot of that's because of the OLED display. And, you know, again, this is normal usage. If I'm going in and I'm doing AR kit stuff, or if I'm really heavily using video or something like that, obviously all bets are off. But I mean, just in normal uses, using the phone, surfing the web, checking Slack, checking Twitter, you know, looking at emails, all that sort of stuff. Again, it will go easily two and a half days without having to be plugged in, at least for me. So I would say that, you know, the 10 kind of solves that battery problem in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of it is because it's the display that's not, you know, sucking as much juice when you're using it.
You need a Nokia 3310, mate. Battery life's incredible on those.
Yeah, but I mean, every other iPhone that I had before, at best, day and a half, you know, if I was not really doing a lot. So this adds almost a full day, at least for me, in normal use. I hadn't even thought about it, but I noticed it a couple of weeks ago. It's like, whoa, I haven't plugged this thing in, and it's still going.
I did a side-by-side test of the camera with Rob, Rob Lyons, JB Redneck, in the Slack room. I went down there.
Versus which model, though? Do you have the Plus, right?
I had the 7 Plus versus the 10.
Right.
And we took a picture of his cat from where I was sat, exactly the same focal length, exactly the same exposure. And he looked at the two images, and his was like, wow, that's awesome. But then actually we realized it had got the True View thing on it, which was a software tweak to it, and the base image without that on was identical. So is it the best camera? No, it's the best piece of software to tweak the shit that the camera shoots. There's a difference.
Again, this came up this week, though, for me. In my case, it is, because I was going from the single lens 7 to the dual lens. So it's a huge, huge improvement.
Hmm. Well, I've got the 7. I've got the little baby iPhone on the back of it. And that lasts me all day. Well, it probably lasts me 2 days, but I always charge it. That's why I dropped down to the smaller one, away from the Plus, because I wanted
to. So you could get the pack, yeah.
I'll be honest with you, my 10's actually getting a full day.
Well, really, Rob's in the chat room now, and he's saying that his phone is down at 10% between 3 and 4 p.m.
That was the same.
What's he doing?
Here's the thing that messes up with batteries. and besides looking at Pornhub all day, here's the thing that messes with the batteries. When you live in a place with really, really great signal, then it's not searching for the cell tower all the time. So your battery will last a lot longer. The more less central you are, or you're just somewhere where you get an interference that messes with the cell tower, that's the one that people don't really spec. Like, yeah, I've been playing with ARK, or I've been tweaking on Instagram, or, you know, for me, it's Discord, because me and my cryptocurrency boys are just talking all day. But I'm still getting 2 days battery, and my phone is just going crazy. But it got crappy for a minute when they were building the high rise in front of me because there was no cell tower. They were messing up the block. They finally came in and put a new cell tower because too many of us were complaining about drop calls. And now my phone doesn't hunt for cell towers anymore. And then my battery life is back to normal. So it is, you could just change locations and get a whole different experience on your battery, just the way it searches.
And that may, it was funny, GB Redneck was asking if I make calls on my phone in the chat. I do. I don't do a ton of calling. I would guess 30 minutes to an hour a day at best. But I also work from home, which means that my phone is on Wi-Fi. So a lot of those calls are probably going over Wi-Fi and it's not searching for the cellular network. So that could be a factor in my longer battery life.
Right. Yeah.
Could be. Do you think we'll see a battery pack from Apple this year for the 10?
Yes.
Yeah. Really? No.
Well, it's not necessary, but
that's an admission of failure right there.
I think it's just because people want it, but you don't need it. Like, you straight up don't need it. But I think a lot of people want it that they'll make it. If they won't make it, Mufi or somebody else will make it.
Oh, there's people are making it already. Anchor do one, don't they?
Well, most people already got one out in this. So.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, the ARKit games just re-sparked this revolution in batteries to the point where it was actually hard to get for a while. You know, it was kind of insane.
Oh yeah, ARKit will just suck the battery in.
I had a great
30 minutes
ARKit game, and I can't remember what it was now because I came up with it when I was like a bottle of bourbon deep, and then I was like, man, I got to remember this, and I was supposed to write it down, and it never happened, and now I don't remember what it was.
No, it's ARKit is not a test of a phone. Well, it's a test of a phone, but it's not a test of a phone. Not a benchmark.
No.
Not by any stretch of the imagination. This podcast and all this is brought to you, this positive podcast about Apple, did you notice, is brought to you by UK2, most definitely, because we're a positive podcast about Apple. If you'd like to get their services, then obviously, of course you can. You could do it direct and then we wouldn't know about it. But you're better off using the login, britishtechnetwork.com/UK2, because we get kudos for the fact that you're a returning customer. Or you can use the offer code britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you'll find all the stuff in there that gets you up to 20% off your basket. They're awesome. Their after-sales support is incredible. We've got a dedicated server with them, which they sponsor us with, and their support on that is absolutely awesome. And they are the reason you can get every episode we've ever done going back to the Bagel Tech Day. So thank you, UK2, for supporting us, because we'd be lost without you. And I will be going to Hoya in 2 weeks' time, and I will be filming with them about the updates to Hoya and the Ord green glasses that are coming in, the designer frames that are on the thing now. And Unico will be available in shops as of, I think, 4 days ago. So ring up and ask, or go to podcast@hoya.co.uk and ask them where their nearest Unico supplier is, and they will sort out. Even the dog wants Unico glasses. Oh, that good.
Can we sue him? His dog just bit me.
Well, it's bitten your right leg then, because that's the only one that's close to where James is.
What were you doing to it, Muller?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say.
How did you provoke it?
You'll have to get a bleep on here.
Oh, Muller's put in the Amazon link for the Anchor charger, and it doesn't ship to James.
Oh,
James, stop being a greedy bastard. Just be thankful that your MacBook Pro's still working.
The last one looks better though. It looks a bit like the Apple one with a bit of a hump on it.
Okay.
Moomin one, the third one, that looks quite nice.
Okay, fair enough.
Jesus Christ, living in France.
Wine.
They must have an Amazon France or something. Oh, you get it from Germany and
shit wine.
They don't have Apple Pay in Germany.
Shit wine, surrender monkeys, decent cheese, give them that, and decent bread.
But are you saying it's because you definitely want to come and see me?
Yeah, no. And I'm saying it so I get lynched nice. off the boat when I get there.
Can you bring one of those cases with you when you come over?
You want a cake? You want? Oh yeah, I'll bring one over. That's not a problem. Yeah, Denny, you'll be here tomorrow. Here, because I don't live in a third world country, yeah. James.
It'll be there in the 16th century for you.
I bet you've never seen that though. You go to Amazon, somebody says how great something is.
Now
you
available.
There, and in bright red, it goes, no sellers are currently delivering the site to France.
Now available with the logo of Coeur de Lion, the Richard III iPhone cover.
Never mind. It'll all be better in summer.
Time for the cool thing. Doc is going to start us off.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm finished laughing at you guys. So I'm in the process of helping a magazine company that produces like 11 rags. I'm in the process of helping them upgrade their setup, and they currently use a Mac Mini file server with a Pegasus R6 attached to the side, and it's out. The magazine has outgrown the process of copying, you know, sort of media files in and out and whatnot. So I started looking to basically build them a Mac Pro server because it would handle more traffic and look for a large hard disk. And I just can't bring myself to buy a 2013 machine. And we don't want to use an iMac Pro because someone would want to sit down and use it as a computer instead of letting it do its job. So in the process of researching what would be the best way to do this, I came up with something that I'm sure everyone's talked about. Some people even own but don't know that they can do this. Synology. Synology yeah. now has basically server-oriented disk, but the one I'm going to pick is for your home. And it's known as a Synology DS418 Play. And then so what makes this really, really great is it has hardware decoding of your multimedia files. So if you were to put your family videos or, you know, the type of stuff that you and I shoot all day and you store it on something like this, you can get it to play back with the assist of a video codec or an encoding codec like built right into the hardware. Also really great for large photos using the new compression formats. It will work to help send that back and forth to you over the cabling. And these things, the one that I spec'd out for the company actually has like 450 by 450 read-write access to a JBOD box, which is insane. It's absolutely insane. So if you're looking for a way to do a really, really nice backup, and they have added some things that they didn't have before, like building your own cloud, taking your own cloud and syncing it with Dropbox or Amazon or, you know, Google Drive, one of the other primary services, it's a great, fantastic way to build a basically bulletproof backup and delivery system for all of your family's ever-growing huge data. It's 446 pounds on Amazon Uke.
I've got two DS16s here, or three actually, and they're brilliant. They're absolutely awesome. I can't fault Synology stuff. Really, really good. Top pick, mate. Top pick. Adam, what have you got for us, pal?
You know, I'm actually going to pick the Amazon Prime Video app, and only because I am watching so much more Amazon Prime now that that Amazon has finally supported Apple's TV app in the Now Playing stuff. It's brilliant, and there's a bunch of great shows on there. I'll throw out a bonus, and I think you turned me on to this, I think, in the Slack. The Marvelous Ms. Maisel. I'm going to mess up her name, right?
Ms. Maisel, that's epic.
Brilliant.
It is a great show, kind of set in New York, and I think it's, I'm guessing it's like the mid to late 50s. And it's just, it's, you know, the synopsis is this woman, you know, through whatever events ends up trying to break into being a comic, and it's all about her life, and it's a fascinating lens into what life was at that time, and it's hilarious and funny and just purely entertaining. And again, because Apple, the Amazon has chosen to support the Apple TV finally and the Now Playing app, I'm just watching a ton more on Amazon Prime. Probably my viewing has gone to 50-50 with Netflix, and it used to be more like 80-20. So I think they made a brilliant move doing that.
See, we watched the hell out of the Amazon Firebox when we had it. And it was great. But the reason we stopped using it was because we lost the frigging control. The kids have done something with it and it's gone.
Right.
And we didn't watch Prime for the longest time. And now it's on the Apple TV. Because the one thing is, if the Apple TV control is missing, the kids know I am majorly pissed.
Right.
And they know that they've got to be really careful not to lose it. So I know I can use my phone, but that's not the point. But the point is now, lose that, and I don't lose, and I get my Amazon back. Brilliant, mate.
Yep. Amazon or Netflix needs to take note, because again, they think that they're like protecting, you know, their content, and they're going to get people to stay with Netflix because they're not supporting the TV app. It's the exact opposite. I wasn't watching Amazon because it wasn't on the TV app, and I just, you know, wasn't paying attention. And so they need to wake up, because, you know, that's, you got to support the places where your people want to watch your stuff. And I'm an Apple guy. I use Apple TV. I use the TV app. So
yep.
Fix it.
Definitely. James, you need to send me a shipping address, because I've just bought you your thing, and I'll post it on.
Yeah.
Muller, do you mind answering the door, mate? Someone's just rung it.
Oh,
yeah. James, what's your cool thing?
Obviously, got the iPhone 10, and I love it to bits. But obviously, one thing they keep going about is this wireless charging things. And I don't want to spend £75 on a wireless charger, because you go to an Apple store and that's how much they're going to cost you. But if you read some horror stories about wireless chargers, you'll read that they get too hot, especially the cheap ones, and they'll break within a month and all this business. So I took a punt on this little fella here that you've now got on the screen here. It's the Senio. I don't know how to pronounce it, but basically it's a key charger. It is absolutely brilliant. It sits on my desk. It obviously doesn't come with a charger plug. I just use my iPad charger for it, and it charges incredibly quick. And I love it because obviously it sits upright. So I have it on my desk. It's got this blue light on the front, a bit like Kit from old Knight Rider days. Blue light on the front. It's not intrusive. You put your phone on it, it'll turn red, it'll start to charge it, and then when it's charged, it'll glow green. It is beautiful, and it means my phone's charged pretty much all the time. I'm doing a lot of work at my desk at the moment.
Are you actually more enamored with the fact?
It costs me nice.
No, you sound like you're more enamored with the fact that it changes colour than it actually charges your phone.
Light.
I put my phone on it and it goes green. I take it off an hour later. It's still got no charge in it, but it glows green.
Oh, trust me, there's plenty of rubbish showing stuff out there, little bloody, you know, lights or cycle around it on the outside. But this is, and I think it's £17, I think it is on Amazon. I got it for about that much, and obviously about, you know, £80 to post to France. Brilliant. like I said, I was a bit worried because I read some reviews about the phone getting too hot, and obviously a certain case won't charge the certain case. I'm using the mouse case, which is this brilliant one that Kickstarter did, and it's just phenomenal. I love it to bits. But the charger for £18, you can't go wrong. You could have more in the house, really. I just think it's great. Good value for money, and big positive review there.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. Muller, what have you got for us?
I stuck it in the a bit further up. Do you want it again?
No, I've got it.
It's free. It's the Curious Case of Rutherford Fry. It's a science podcast. It's British-based. Hannah Fry, you see a lot on TV. I don't know Greg Rutherford.
Not a lot of people know that she's Stephen Fry's daughter.
Is she?
No.
I was having that then, wasn't I? Yeah, actually, he's got, no, he, yeah,
no,
okay.
No, he's definitely, not his daughter.
Okay. Yeah, it's a cracking little free podcast. It's science based. You can ask them questions, and eventually they might answer it. And I just commend it to the house.
I'll give that a go, mate. Definitely, because I'm starting to run out of podcasts to listen to.
That is cracking, mate. I tell you, and Backbench likes it as well. So it
what's nice right. as well is that they've got all the old episodes.
Yeah, it goes way back. I'm actually going to go further back as well, because
I love Infinite Monkey Cage. They,
it's very similar. Yeah.
As a good podcast anyway, but I like the fact that they've got all of the episodes on, because normally BBC, they'll give you like two episodes and then they rip them off the server because they can't afford the space.
This is very similar to Monkey Cage, although it's them basic. You email them a question, then they'll answer it. So they do the last couple of, something like the speed of light, can you break the speed of light and stuff like that.
No. That was a short one then.
Well, no. It's a bit more qualified than that.
Okay. But it's still a no.
It's still a no, yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, there we go.
But it depends what the speed of light is.
It's pretty,
you know, what's really good about science?
Einstein said it's the only constant.
It's not a constant.
I always listen to like Stuff We Should Know and How Stuff Works, and I always thought those are great podcasts. And the reason why they're great is, for the most part, their content's evergreen. So the timely podcasts, I spend so much time listening to them, but then sometimes, you know, something will come up in a week and it'll mess up your time frame. And then I look at one that's like, you know, a week old. I let it get to like 2 weeks old and I go, frick it. Whatever's in there is too old. Just throw it away and keep going. And then So a lot of times you miss good bits when you're chasing untimely podcasts. So when I get in those situations, I still want to hear something, but now I don't want to hear something that's 2 weeks out of date. And I would go to the science-oriented podcasts because they're never out of date for the most part. And so this would be great. And I also want to check out Infinite Monkey Cage. So I just got two new podcasts.
Oh, Infinite Monkey Cage. Go back to the start. Yeah. And the one about Hilbert's Hotel, I was shouting at the stereo while I was driving doing that one. You're talking shite, mate. You're just making that up. It's just bollocks. It's just playing with words.
So what's really funny about that is I started, you know, listening to Stuff You Should Know, and out of the blue, Karen goes, you know, you always seem to know like all these random tidbits about random things, and I wish I knew that. And I said, oh, you should check out this podcast. And she's like kind of not really into podcasts at first. She started listening to it, and now I walk in, I'm like, holy crap, you're listening to Stuff You Should Know circa 2009 or 10. And she goes, yeah, I went back to the beginning. I'm listening to them all. So she's actually started from day one, and she's about on the fifth year now. But I'm like, that show's been on for like, I swear, 10, maybe 11 years. And she went back to get it all. So she's randomly saying things to me about stuff that I know she never knew about recently. But she just, guess what I learned? Today I learned kind of thing. And so I think it's amusing. And yeah, it's something, it's nice to see podcasts growing. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, go on.
Def Leppard, breaking news. Def Leppard put their stuff up on Apple Music.
Oh, awesome.
Oh. They're playing in Birmingham tonight, aren't they?
They're playing tonight. We're going.
Yeah, I don't think we can get a ticket. Okay. They're at the arena.
What's the sound of one-handed drummer drumming?
One-handed drummer.
Yeah, I couldn't get that out. Michael thing, right, and this is the best thing that's happened to me this year, is the Reverb app for Amazon Alexa.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my fudging God.
It's awesome.
Oh, mate, it's everything that the Alexa app should have been that Amazon released. And it's only simple. You just download this app, you sign in with your account via the API, so it's perfectly secure anyway, and then you put your thumb, you've got two choices. You can either press and hold the microphone icon and say what you want your Echo to do, or you can dab it, say what you want it to Echo do, and then dab it again so that it does it. So it's great for the car. And the beautiful thing is, you don't have to use your keyword. So you could actually go around all of your Alexas and turn them red so that they're not listening to you all the time and just use your phone without having to use a keyword. So it doesn't listen to the previous 10 seconds and the post 10 seconds, which all those with tinfoil hats are thinking, well, I'm not having an Echo in because it's listening to everything I'm saying. This doesn't, plain and simple. And it's fantastic. I've had it on in the car. I've left here from the studio. And all I've done is dab it and gone, turn off the studio radiators and dab it again, and it goes, okay. And I've checked on the Casa app, and it's gone. It is absolutely brilliant. Now, Muller did say earlier on when I was talking to him in the car that he had the first version of this, and it wasn't very good. That is not the case. So if you've had this before and you didn't have a great experience with it, think again, because this was brilliant. And it's free. It's bloody free. And I don't know why, because I would gladly be paying £5 for this. No problem at all. But I've got it now, and you can't, so bad luck, developer. And there's no freemium thing I can play, so.
Nice.
I absolutely adore it. It is absolutely my recommendation for the next 2 years. It's turned the Amazon Echo into a mobile app for me. It's brilliant. Absolutely awesome. Well done. I was umming and ahhing whether I should put the Google Assistant on, and I've decided I shouldn't, because now I've got this. But there you go. Superb.
How would this help me with music then, Ewan? Exactly.
It can still, I don't know if it will still play music, but it certainly does all your functionality with home stuff with it.
So home automation you're using mainly?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Excellent. Right, chaps, where can I've got a studio's booked and the two guys have turned up, so I've got to go in a minute. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the world here at solid.fm or on the internet at DOCROCK. Quick update just for the week. Jerome and I shot the first episode of a new to come, like helping people out tech podcast. So this is a test. It's currently called the Untitled Tech Podcast because we don't know what the hell we're going to call it yet. But after we get a couple episodes in, we'll figure it out. But anyway, it'll be on solid.fm.
Excellent. Adam, where are you, man?
As always, you can find me on maccast.com or maccast on your favorite podcast app. And also check out the iOS show at theiosshow.com. Oh, and then maccast on social media.
Brilliant. Thank you, mate. James, where are you, sir?
You can just find me on Twitter for now. It's at James Rickards, RICKARDS. Thank you.
Excellent, pal. And last but by no means least, Muller, where are you?
I'm locked in your basement normally. But or on Muller by Crit Twitter.
Excellent, pal. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week as normal, Thursday and Friday. Thursday for the big show at 8 p.m. and Friday at 4 p.m. for the Mac show. Have a great weekend and thanks for listening.